Finance Minister Pravin Gordhan has received the backing of 81 CEOs who pledged support for the Finance Minister days before he presents his mini-budget and a week before he appears in court on fraud charges. Now, the CEOs who form part of the CEO initiative said in a press statement that they stand as one for the rule of law and against the decision to prosecute the Minister of Finance on charges that are, according to the preponderance of expert legal opinion without a factual legal foundation and not in the public interest. The initiative was formed after former Finance Minister Nhlanhla Nene was fired in December 2015 and has worked with Labour and government to find unity with business going forward. We discuss the Finance Minister's media term budget, which he is to deliver tomorrow with Efficiency Group economist Dawie Root. Dawie, good morning to you and welcome to the program.
Thank you and good morning to you.
From a personal point of view, how difficult is this medium-term budget going to be for the Finance Minister?
Well, the circumstances are very difficult for the Minister of Finance, but I think it's not going to be that difficult really for him from a personal point of view, simply because there's a certain process whereby the state's finances are managed. And this process has been going for some time. We've got a so-called rolling budget, where we don't have a 1 year's budget only. We actually have a budget for 3 years into the future. So the Minister of Finance simply has to stick with the plan. So I think it's not really that difficult. But the reality is that the circumstances are quite difficult in South Africa. And that is that we know the political circumstances and the economic circumstances are very challenging as well. But purely delivering the medium-term budget is certainly not that difficult.
What are the biggest challenges he faces in this budget?
Well, a budget consists of a number of things. Maybe we can unpack it quickly. The most important part or very important part of a budget is, of course, where the money comes from, tax revenue. And tax revenue is very much a definition of how the economy is performing. So how are taxes doing? And I can tell you, that, and I've done the analysis, is that state's revenue is under tremendous pressure. And the main reason for that has to do with the weak economic performance. And then the second issue, very important to the minister, is state spending as well. Now, state spending is probably going to be more or less in line with the original budget estimate, because, again, like I've mentioned, there's a certain process that's been followed. So expect state spending to be more or less in line with budgeted estimates, but we all know that there is also tremendous pressure on the spending side of the budget, and I'm just referring to the universities as an example of the additional spending that needs to come in. The third factor that is important to the minister, of course, has to do with the state borrowing, how much money he's going to borrow, he needs to borrow, and that means how much his debt will go up, and that, of course, is a function of whether the foreigners like us, whether local investors like us, what interest rates going to be like, and so on. And then, of course, finally, the political issues that need to be addressed as well. Remember, the budget, the so-called mini-budget, is not really a budget. It's only a report back from the Minister of Finance where he gives us sort of a report back on what the state finances has been doing up to now for the first 6 months of the financial year. But reading between the lines quite often, we can get an indication of what the Minister is likely to do in a real budget, which, of course, will be delivered in February. And I can tell you now that I expect the Minister of Finance to increase some taxes, and we can talk about that if you want to, and I also expect the Minister of Finance to make some changes regarding state spending, and we can talk about that as well.
Yes, so in terms of the taxes, what are some of the changes that you are expecting?
Yeah, there are three major taxes, or let's call it four taxes. The most important tax to the Minister of Finance is personal income tax, and that gives by far the biggest revenue to the Minister of Finance. I expect the Minister of Finance to increase personal income tax next year. But the problem is that even if he increases personal income tax, he's not going to get much more. And if you do the numbers, you will see the simple reason for that has to do with the fact that we do not have enough rich people. People are already overtaxed as far as personal income tax is concerned. The second most important tax to the Minister of Finance is VAT, value-added tax. Now, that is politically extremely difficult to increase, but that's the only tax that can yield us potentially a significant amount of money. So personal value-added tax needs to be increased, but politically it's extremely difficult. Corporate income tax, company taxes, is the third most important tax. Now, that simply cannot be increased. It will be very irresponsible, and it will make it South Africa very unattractive as an investment destination. And then the fourth tax is other taxes. And those are things like, for example, the sugar tax and the carbon tax and all those silly sort of taxes. And I expect the Minister of Finance to increase or introduce taxes like, for example, the sugar tax next year. So those are some, in summary, what I expect the Minister of Finance to do next year as far as taxes are concerned.
Then the other area that you spoke about is the spending. Now, this has been a critical area where spending of as much as $4.7 billion a year could be cut. When we look at the bloated cabinet that we have. But what are the chances of spending cuts in that particular avenue in other areas also?
Yeah, the state spends approximately equal to a third of the economy. By far, the Minister of Finance is the biggest economic player in the South African economy. Yes, you're absolutely right. We need to cut back on spending. But we all know there's this huge pressure on the Minister of Finance to spend actually more. It is important to just to go back a little bit in history and see where the money goes to. And I can tell you that the bulk of this money goes to social expenditure generally, and it goes to education. It's the biggest expenditure item for the Minister of Finance. But very importantly, we've seen a massive increase in number of civil servants working for us, and their salaries are totally out of line. The average civil servant is at least, say, 40% better remunerated than the average equivalent private sector worker. So we need to cut back on the number of civil servants that work for us. We need to improve the quality of work that they do for us. And we simply cannot allow to keep on increasing their wages the way we have been the last couple of years. So that is priority number one is on the spending side as far as I'm concerned. And then on some pressing issues, like, for example, university expenditure, we need to talk about that because the only way that we can afford it is we cut that somewhere else. And there are some other issues as far as spending is concerned. Something that is totally unaffordable will be the national health insurance. And then there are some peripheral issues like, for example, the possibility of a nuclear deal, which is also totally unacceptable. The reality is that the Minister of Finance, as far as the sums are concerned, has very, very little moving space.
Then you made reference to the universities. Do you expect the Minister to give relief to students demanding free education?
Well, first of all, there is no such thing as free education. That's just nonsense. Somebody's going to pay for that. The answer to that is yes. I think the Minister of Finance is probably going to do something as far as the universities is concerned. Remember, we already have a NSFAS, which is supposed to fund students. I think the answer to universities is that we have to manage the whole thing much better. And I personally think, and in fact, I've got very good reasons why I say so, it's much, much better. And you achieve much, much more if you put more emphasis on primary education. One grade one's education is far more valuable than your final year in your PhD. And never ever in your life again will a child take such a leap in knowledge and in skills as in grade one. And the quality of education, and I did mention our education is the biggest expenditure item, and we spend more than most countries in the world, but the quality of our education is not only bad, it is sometimes the worst in the world. That's where priority should be, not with the university education.
Yes, so there is an important shift that needs to take place. How important is this budget for the minister, especially being under attack as he is, and not knowing whether you will have a job next week or not?
Yeah, it is quite important. I think it's probably more important to the rating agencies. It's very important to the economists. Like me, for example, we're going to go through his budget with a fine comb. I think the rating agencies will look at things like, for example, how much money he's going to borrow, his estimates on the revenue, what the revenue shortfall could be, and of course the rating agencies will see if he's going to change his view on economic growth and things like this. So I think this budget, this so-called budget, is a very important not only to the minister but to all of us, because there's a possibility that this could be the final nail that could get the rating agencies to downgrade us. Conditions are very difficult. For the Minister of Finance, of course, if there is a downgrade, it will be a black mark behind his name. And if you are believing conspiracy theories, there's a theory going around that if there's a downgrade, then that could be a reason to fire the Minister of Finance. So I think on all sort of levels, this specific so-called mini-budget is quite important, yes.
Now, we always thank you very much for your time this morning on Radio Islam.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Now have a good day. Bye.